Well, thank you, Sister Danielle. Aren't you glad that he paid for it? Amen? Appreciate the good special in song. Open your Bibles to the book of Mark tonight, Mark chapter 9. We're going to go to a little familiar story. Remember in chapter 9, the Lord is going up on the mount of what we sometimes call the Mount of Transfiguration. He's gone up there, took three of the disciples. I'm going to pick up in the story when he comes down from the mountain, and to those he left at the bottom, he did leave some disciples there, you remember. And I want to talk to you a little bit on the subject tonight, how to come to God. And the truth is, if you don't believe what he says, you're really not coming to him. Be pretty silly if some of us got down on our knees and prayed to that piano tonight, wouldn't it? Oh, piano, bless me tomorrow. It wouldn't have any power to do that. And I tell you what, not anybody in this building would believe that it did. We wouldn't believe it, would we? But some folks pray to God in just that kind of unbelief. Got to watch out for it, folks. Here it is in the story. Picking it up here. And I go to chapter 9 and verse 14. And when he was come to his disciples, been up on the mount now, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioned with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he, Jesus, asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" Talking about his disciples. And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered him and saith, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallered, foaming. I'm going to stop and say this. It's not a pleasant thing to see that happen. I have seen it happen. And that is what the devil will do. And still does it today with many. Verse 21, and he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him to the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Young people, let me tell you this. The devil is not out for your good. He'll cast you in the fire. He'll cast you in the water. He'll go ahead and trick you into doping or drinking or all the rest of the bad. But in the end, he's going to destroy you. And that's the way it works. And that's the way it was working right here. And straightway, verse 24, the father of the child cried out. Well, let me back up to verse 23. Jesus saith unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe." But watch the rest of it. "Help thou mine unbelief." Do you understand that we all have the pull this father felt? We believe, and yet in our very nature, this fallen nature, we have this thing of unbelief too. Don't deny it, it's there. Have you ever been reading the Word of God and all of a sudden it just dawned on you, "I read something. Do I really believe that? Do I really genuinely believe that?" Now see, it's one thing to say it, it's something else for it to be real. And this father here recognized, "I believe, I want to believe, I'm trying to believe, I do believe, but I got something in here that doubts. I got something we can call unbelief. I need help with that." Now the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you're going to get help, you're going to get it from the Word of God. But the Bible also says, Hebrews 11, that he that would come to God must first believe that he is. and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, do you believe that? You wouldn't pray to the piano because you don't believe that about it. But do we believe it about the Father? He that would first come to God must believe that he is. He's real. He's got that power. We read on and see the victory here. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. By the way, when Jesus cast out the devil, he stayed out. Amen. Enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him up with a hand and lifted him up and arose. He arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately. They'd already tried and failed, remember? Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind, what you just saw happen, can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. It wasn't just a, wasn't the TV preacher just saying, look how easy it is. No, sir. It was a warfare. And Jesus was mightier than the devil. He cast the devil out. And today, if you and I are going to do anything for God, it all hinges on belief. Amen? That's right. That's the key. Hey, that's the key to salvation. But it's also, I wish I could clear this thing up a little bit. It's not only the key to salvation, it's the key to the Christian life. Some folks believe and receive Christ, and yet I want to tell you, continuing to believe is what's going to guide you down the Christian walkway, what's going to keep you going, amen? I know belief is the key to salvation. Somebody said, or I said it, or somebody said it, I heard it anyway, said you better do your believing while you're living so you'll be a knowing where you're going. I mean, now's the time to believe. Now's the time you're going to get some benefit from believing. Amen? And it's basic today. I mean, look, we're in a fight today. And the whole thing is the population out there, the students and the day schools and the colleges, and especially in the secular colleges today, there is a big attack of atheism and agnosticism on the young people to destroy a generation. And it's working, folks. It's working. Teaching them ungodly evolution and all that kind of stuff is going on. And we see everything under attack. I mentioned it this morning, the military is under great attack. I would not have time to share it with you tonight. I get a paper from them every now and then. And on this particular one, it is showing about they're actually trying to get it possible to do a court-martial on military men that might witness the gospel to their buddies. The Pentagon has gone crazy to let a few atheists come in and get this kind of headway made, but it is unbelievable. Chaplains not even praying in Jesus' name, and all of this been the military is under attack, just like secularism out there. The general population today is under attack, and the truth of the matter is, it's all against God. That Antichrist spirit against God today. By the way, God has a way of making folks have to confront him. Did you know that? Sooner or later, after they've tried everything else, just about everybody faces God one way or the other. It's amazing. Belief is the key, though. It's the key to a man's relationship with life's challenges, and life does have challenges. You might be born with a silver spoon in your mouth, but you're still going to have trouble. Job said, man is born unto trouble as the sparks flieth upward. And the truth is, he said, man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And the truth is, that's the history of man. I've said it before, but I read somewhere where an old king asked his servants to go out and write for him the history of man. Well, after a long time, they brought a pile of books, and he looked at them and he said, condense it. Well, they brought him back half that many books. He looked at it again. He said, condense it. They brought him back a third. He said, I said, condense it. They brought him back one book. He said, I said, condense it. They brought him back one statement. And the statement said, here's the history of man. He lived, he suffered, and he died. And that pretty well condenses it, amen? Pretty well brings it down. And life has a challenge. And yet, belief in God helps us face those challenges. Helps us understand and to get by and gives us strength. And I'll be honest with you. Personally, since I got saved, my strength has been believing God. Even when it didn't look like there was a way. Even when I couldn't understand how he was going to do it, I still believed he would do it. And that if he didn't do it my way, he had a better way to do it. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Learning to believe God. Brother Joel Smith and myself, many years ago, my wife and his wife, we took a tour. I was still pastoring at Gant Lake. We went up into Ohio. I was able to go in some churches, big churches I'd never been in before. And by the grace of God, talked to some pastors that was just a lifetime dream that I could talk to Dallas Billington, that I could talk with Dr. Lee Robertson, Dr. Beecham Vick, names some of you remember. And they'd show us around the buildings and what they were doing. And I remember going into Akron Baptist Temple in Akron, Ohio. Dr. Billington was there, and he was like me now. He was old then. Only difference, he'd had a heart attack, and he was moving pretty slow, but he was so gracious to show us all the building, talk to us. I think they'd had about 5,000 that Sunday or a little more. And that was a thrill for me as a young preacher then to go and to see him and to talk to him. And he gave me his little book. I didn't tell him, but I already had his book. And he signed it for me, and it was called My God Is Real. Just simple man that didn't have more than a fourth grade education when he went to Akron, Ohio. And yet God used him to build that great church. And he wrote that book, and it was just sort of like my book I've written, where I said his hand is real, one story after another of answered prayer. One story after another of God's doing something because a simple man believed him. Folks, belief is the key. And don't let me pass this over your head. I'm going to muddle some things tonight. But understand, your faith is real or it isn't. You believe or you don't. And the consequences and the results of that's going to be apparent in your life. And we're all going to have struggles. Our whole history is condensed. That we live and we suffer and we die. But in the meantime, we can have God if we believe in him. And we can believe his word. And we can let him guide us. We can get strength from that. I want to say this to you tonight. Very simply, his belief in this book. From the time I got saved, actually I realize now as I look back, and you've heard my testimony so many times, when I saw Grandma sitting at the door of that Bible, I always wondered why it bothered me. You see, I had a belief in it before I would have ever confessed I had a belief in it. That's why I tell our soul winners, when somebody says, I don't believe that book, use it anyway. You'll find out they do. You'll find out the Holy Spirit works on the inside of them. I heard about somebody leaving church this morning because they didn't like my Sunday school lesson. I tell you what they didn't like. They didn't like God's conviction. that's what happened. You say, is that bad? No, it's good. They won't get away from it that easy. Just walking out of a church building don't free you from God. God's Holy Spirit can follow you wherever you go. He can be in that bedroom when you pillow your head. He can be in that room when you open your eyes in the morning. He can be there all the time. And often God lets somebody sow seed that continue to bring conviction on somebody. I tell you what, my belief in this book's been real through the years. You know, it's consistent for God to have a book. That's why I don't believe God's word is scattered in all many different Bibles, many different manuscripts. I believe he promised to inspire it. He promised to preserve it, and I have a copy of it. Amen. Otherwise, he can't judge me by it. I think I've told you this before, but I want to hear it again myself. Some of us preachers was in a restaurant. Some other preachers came up. We were at the table, a Bible conference or something, and I might have told you this recently. It sounds kind of familiar to me. We were sitting at the table eating, and these other guys came up, and friendly fellows. They come, they recognize us as preachers. Maybe they saw us ask the blessing, or I don't know. Anyway, they came up, hey, brothers, this, that, and the other, and said, one of them said something like this. He said, all said, we all love the Lord. We're be in fellowship. He said, unless you're some of those King James only fellas. One of the preachers at the table said, that's what we are. Well, it's okay. We can still have fellowship. I said, well, there's not much difference in us. We just serve a bigger God than you do. I said, what? I said, oh, yeah. We have a God big enough not only to inspire his word, but to preserve it. And we have a copy of it. Fellowship didn't last too long after that, but truth of the matter is, that's the way I feel about it. Hey, God's not going to judge me by his word if I don't have his word. And it's not going to be scattered in 100 different places, brother. God has used it for over 400 years like no other book. We better take a cue from that. Amen. Preserved every word of it. If some of you ladies went to the grocery store and you bought a dozen eggs and you got home with half a dozen, you'd think you got cheated, wouldn't you? Right. Some folks ought to feel cheated when they go to the Bible bookstore and come back with a perverted Bible. NIV's got 64,096 words missing. You ought to feel cheated. Amen. Amen. Worse than that, deceived. I mean, here's the Word of God. I mean, so many evidences, so much of it. And I don't want to get off into that. I try to teach some stuff in Sunday school once in a while. And by the way, I think Stephen got some criticism this morning because some visitor told him he ought to serve meat. He didn't serve enough meat. I got news for you. That's backwards. He uses more scripture than most any preacher you'll ever preach. And by the way, that was a woman too. Excuse me, ladies. I want to tell you something. If I went to a church and I was visiting it with my wife, and we heard a sermon, even if it was something we disagreed with, even if it was a liberal, we wouldn't be in a liberal church to start with, but even if it was something like that, I'd have more respect as a first-timer than to say to some pastor, that wasn't good. You wasn't deep enough. You didn't serve me any meat. Whoever said you have to have meat every time you eat anyway? You don't. And you certainly don't when it's spiritual meat. Amen? And by the way, would you recognize it if it was meat? But can you see my wife blessing a preacher out and me standing there like a little wimp? Can you see that? No, you can't see that. And I can't see that. And I can't see it with anybody else. In fact, it might be good I didn't see it this morning. I think about the woman that come up and blessed out the preacher. She wound up by saying, if you was my husband, I'd feed you poison. He said, and if I was your husband, I'd take it. Amen. Amen. That kind of stuff gets me, though. People that, by the way, somebody says, well, I went down to that church and it just shallow. Well, do you understand who we're feeding sometime? We're feeding lost folks that need to hear the gospel and get saved. If you want to get a little deeper, come to Sunday school. You want to get a little deeper, come on Wednesday night. You want to get into the Bible, come when the Bible's being taught. Pray when it's being the gospel preached for souls to be saved. Amen? All right. Didn't cost you nothing. I've seen this book and its power. I've seen folks that loved it, and I've seen folks that hated it, but it hadn't. And it's the same old book. And it's a supernatural book. It does create a supernatural fear as well as a supernatural love. Since I'm telling stories I've already heard, I want to tell one more. Got a vote on it? Can I tell one? Listen. That's poor showing. Just for that, I'll string it out. I'd come as pastor, and we had that one little building over there, first building that I built the first restrooms in, and God was blessing, and we were seeing folks saved, and good things was happening. I got a call from a young lady that was in college over in Lakeland. I knew her from my country church. She called me and said, I'd like to bring my fiance, and you talk to us about marriage. I want to get married. And she knew I wouldn't marry anybody I didn't talk to them, counsel with them. And so she came in. It was on a Sunday evening. I didn't have an office. I'd knocked the wall out to put people in. So I went in that little corner Sunday school building, which is the elementary office now. Just had wooden benches in there. And I went in there and I met with them. When she come in, she had her fiance was an older man who was a college professor, and old enough to be her daddy. And they came in, and I did the little greeting that you do and so forth. And in just a little bit, I got to the main question. I said, I know this girl has been saved, but I said, how about you? You been saved? I insulted that college professor. How dare you ask me that? Literally just went berserk. how dare you to ask me that sort of thing? Offended. God just blessed me, and I could remember all the Bible at that time. Every verse I needed just was right there. Just clicked. Now, God was in it, because I can't always do that. But I was surprised how the verses just rolled off my tongue and how it just stabbed him every time I'd use one. Just tormented him every time I'd hit him. I can't do it now. I don't have a chair up here. But he jumped up, took his chair, slammed it on the floor, turned it around, and straddled it like he's riding a horse. Literally. And just going nuts. She wasn't saying anything, but when he'd quiet down, I'd give him another verse. Reckley jumped up, ran out the glass door. They had come up in a Volkswagen Bug. And he got in that Volkswagen. She's still sitting there. And he started making circles on the parking lot right out there. You ever heard of Volkswagen? Man, that thing was just bubbling all over, just turning around. And I'm watching him through the glass door. Just going nuts. Tall, big, older, college professor. But something was bothering him. Amen. The Bible, the Word of God. He couldn't handle it. It was cutting him all to pieces. I looked over at the girl and I said, you better catch your ride. I think he's about to leave. She said, preacher, I'm sorry. I said, why did you bring him? She said, because I knew you'd ask him. And I said, I want to tell you something. Don't marry that man unless he gets saved. Don't marry that man. You're going to have some hell on earth if you marry that man. She did, and she had hell on earth. And it didn't last long. Now, I'm saying all that to say, it don't matter how much education he had, he couldn't get by the sword. He couldn't get by the book. God brings conviction with it. And even on those that run from it, they still can't get away from the conviction that it brings on them. Amen? It's alive. It's a supernatural book. And to believe it is where you're going to get your power from. I tell you what, believing will get you through the struggles, get you through the battles. Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We quote that all the time. We're in a time of Christian bashing today. I saw where an airline had to pay a fine because they accused some of the workers of profiling somebody. Profiling them. I want to tell you what, some of them need profiling. I mean, how ridiculous. Where we've got in America that we've got to condone those that kill our people, cut their heads off, fly the planes into the towers. Where we've gone crazy on this political correctness thing. Amazing. But you know what? You're going to have some struggles. So I'm going to be a good little Christian. I'll never have any opposition. If you're a good Christian, you will have. I don't know of any better Christian than Lester Roloff. What kind of struggles did he have? He had plenty of them, didn't he? You know, he warned us of this fight we're in now. And let me say this. Every preacher worth his salt has been in a battle. The devil's not going to let him do anything for God without he fights him. And when you hear gossip on a preacher, most of the time, it's because he's done something for God. Understand that. Need to understand that. We are to contend for the faith. And the truth is, your fight won't always just come from the liberals. It won't always just come from the atheists. Sometimes it'll come from the brethren. Do you know Paul listed the pearls that he was in? What is it? 1 Corinthians 14, I believe it is, or 1 Corinthians 11. Over there he was listing the pearls. He was listing, see if I can find it very quickly. He was talking about that he was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was in pearls of robbers and pearls by my own, listen to this, my own countrymen. In pearls by the heathen. Well, you'd expect that. But how about this? In pearls in the city, in pearls in the wilderness, in pearls in the sea. Now watch the last statement. In pearls among false brethren. Do you know part of a shepherd's job is not only to lead the sheep to the pasture, but to fight the wolves off? You do have to fight the wolves off sometimes. A sad truth, but somebody's going to slip into the flock and be a wolf in sheep's clothing. You better recognize him at the gate, not later on. Amen. You're going to have some battles if you contend for the faith. If you are going to stick by the body of Bible doctrine that we've been delivered through the priesthood of believers down through our church history, I want to say this. Most of the time, when you see the word Baptist on a church, it used to be this way, not so much anymore. Used to be when you saw the word Baptist on a church, you knew it stood for something. You knew it stood for salvation by grace. It stood for eternal security. It stood for Christian living, separation from the world. But anymore, I hate to say it, but everybody's throwing a real big net now to get everybody they can. Somebody said to me one Sunday when we had nobody down the aisle and said, what kind of Sunday do you have? I said, well, we had a great Sunday. They said, well, you were blessed with somebody joining? I said, we might have been blessed because somebody didn't. You ever think about that thing? All right. Truth of the matter is, you might have missed a bullet. How many of you fellows, after you got married, after you'd been married for a number of years, you found out that girl you were so sweet on, what she looked like now? You thought you missed a blessing? You might have missed a bullet. I'm meddling with you some, but I'm going to get you to think with me a little bit. Amen. I went to my class reunion after about 20 years, and I couldn't believe how old those people had got. Of course, not me. My close buddy was sitting across the table, and he whispered to me. He said, look at all these old folks. I said, what do you think they're saying about us? Well, amen. But believe in God will take you through the struggles, take you through the battles, take you through the challenges. Just believe him anyhow, even when you don't understand. And be honest, God, I do have some unbelief. Help me put it away. Help me to believe you more. Help me to accept that your word is true, even if I can't understand how you're going to work it out. I believe it anyway. Amen. Church victories we've had around here, building buildings, seeing money come in at the last minute like we're praying for this week in the Restore-a-thon. Over and over, year in and year out. I want to tell you folks, let's keep on believing. Let's start believing now. Let's see it through Thursday morning and through Saturday night and say, God, one more time, please do it again. Speak to hearts and help us to believe you'll speak to hearts. Belief is the key. It is the key. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen God's blessings so many times. I can testify to his promises. Psalms 37 over there, where the psalmist said, I have been young. Young folks, it does happen to you. I have been young, now I am old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. 37th Psalm, about verse 25, I think. Hey, that's a promise I have seen. Now, here's a key. If I believed God in the past, and it paid off, it was the answer, why won't I look at that and help me believe him for the future? Understand what I'm saying? Did you ever get in a tight spot and God deliver you? Then later on down the road, you saw another tight spot coming, but your mind went back and said, if God could deliver me from that, he can deliver me from this. And believe him anyhow. Just believe him anyhow. God's blessings follow belief. They really do. I remember some early faith blessings as a young believer, and I won't take time to tell them, but you've heard them over and over, and I've never exhaust the list. And I never exhaust being ashamed of myself sometime now when I don't believe as much as I did when I hadn't been saved very long. That rebukes me sometime. I'm currently still receiving God's blessing. Many of you were in on the foundation rock when we put it up, and that was a battle, a really, really major battle. And God, if God hadn't intervened, we wouldn't have had a victory on that. We had all the forces of hell against us on that. And I thank God that he delivered and he came through and we believed and he did. Now, I'm still believing God to finish my ministry today. You know, young preachers, they got a challenge to believe to get started. Old preachers have got a challenge to believe to finish. I told an older preacher recently, he said something to me, and he said, how's it going? When you gonna retire? I said, I don't know. But I said, I tell you what, I'm trying to get to the end without making a mistake. I'm trying to get to the end without something bad happening. I'm trying to get to the end before there's some kind of scandal or something else the devil can use to destroy the ministry. Seen it too many times with too many preachers. And the devil is not going to quit. He's not going to give you an easy ride. He's not going to say, well, I'm going to let him alone now. He's gotten older and he deserves me to let him alone. You think the devil's going to do that? Of course he's not. The truth of the matter is, I want to finish well. Every Christian ought to want to finish well. Some of you that have been cutting out what you were doing for God, you ought to give some thought to that. Can I finish what I started? Can I end up faithful? I started out faithful. What have I been cutting back on? What am I doing now? Am I still doing what I was doing for God? Well, you say, well, no, I'm not. But is it because you quit believing God and trusting God to get you right on through till he comes? It's a good thing to ask ourselves. The truth of the matter is, keep believing him for his blessings. I've believed him a long time, and I still believe him. I know I preach a lot on the second coming. I guess it's a wish. It's a wish that he would come on. I told Lois last night, she said, I'm going to see Jesus. She really wanted to see him last night. I said, Lois, when you see him, will you please tell him that a bunch of us are wanting him to come back in a hurry? That's what I told her. And I think that's true with me. I think maybe it's true with you. And it'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? Big thing that'd be wonderful to me would be I made it to the end. I believed him to the end. I trusted him to the end. Finished right. Rosemarie Daniel used to sing a song here called An Unfinished Task. I don't want to have an unfinished task. I want to finish it. Amen. I want to be like Paul. I've finished my course. Amen. That's what our prayer ought to be. You and I that have been saved longer, that ought to be our prayer, to finish well. I tell you, I believe the Lord, and I got saved. I'm honest with you, folks. I didn't know Revelation from Genesis when I got saved. I didn't know John 3:16. But I come in a church that preached like we preach. I heard the good news that Jesus saved. I heard it was by grace. I'd already tried my works and they didn't go very far. And I knew I was in trouble, and I knew if there was a hell, I was going there. But I heard the good news that for by grace are you saved through faith. Oh, listen, that's the best news I ever heard. And I got saved on Sunday night. And I'd take you to the spot. Oh, they built houses and stuff, but there was an orange grove there then. I can go right over there, Brother Condon, on what we call the old Winter Haven Road, Lucerne Park, right there. We were loading fruit. I went out there early before anybody else got there that Monday morning, because I'd left a, I can't teach you science, but I'd left a goat full of fruit. That's a truck. Amen. A grove truck. And it was full of fruit, and there was a loading machine there. Ever see them old loading machines? They didn't see them now. But in the old days, they had paddles that went up about 15 foot in the air, and it rotated. And you back the truck in, and you pull the pin out of the tailgate, and that bulk fruit, those oranges, ran out and hit those turning paddles, and those paddles brought it up. And there was a big fruit trailer parked there, and it dumped the fruit in the trailer. And I got there before anybody else did on that Monday morning. And still very real to me. I was thinking about saved. My sins are gone. My sins are paid for. All those dirty things and bad thoughts and bad words, wiped clean. That morning, as I was dumping that fruit, nobody else was around. The sun was rising, coming up, just good daylight and sun rising. Those oranges looked like balls of gold going up those paddles, dumping into that trailer. The trees looked greener than I'd ever seen them. And the birds in the bushes sang better than I'd ever heard them sing. And there was a little voice inside said, it's all right now. You're saved now. Your sin's forgiven now. I want to tell you something. My friend, believe God. If you're here unsaved, trust him in belief. He'll save you. And he will give you peace in your heart. And he will give you victory in your heart. And you can know it. Oh, it's not the feeling I had that morning. I trusted Christ that night before, but it was the consequences of it. It was the fruit of it. It was the results of that peace that came from believing God. And belief is the key. Oh, yeah, the man said, I want my son to be healed. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And it didn't stop Jesus from doing the healing and the saving. Believe him. You know, faith is compared to the smallest seed, the mustard seed. How much faith have you got tonight? Have you got enough to trust Christ as your Savior? You do that. You take that step out from that pew. You come down that aisle and receive Christ, and he'll give you the peace as a result of it. He'll give you the assurance as a result of believing.